Hello, and welcome to the First Pres Mommy podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Today, through Hebrews 10 verses 26 to 39, Pastor Jason Armstrong encourages the faithful to stand together and persevere in Christ against the trouble and persecution of the world. Let's hear today's message.
Good morning, everyone. So one of the fastest growing Christian movements in the world is through a small and resilient group of believers who meet and study and pray together. And it's in the underground churches, house churches in Iran. Despite the severe persecution of threats of arrestment, imprisonment, and social ostracism, the underground church in Iran is growing dramatically. It's projected that their underground church there will grow at least double or more in the next 20 years or so. And double even with the pressure that the government puts on them as believers. So these believers, they meet in homes, and now that it's the modern age, they use digital tools to discreetly have Bible study together. They support new converts in that way. And indeed, they view suffering and this persecution as a way to refine their faith in times of trouble. And many come from Muslim backgrounds. They encounter Jesus personally through dreams and visions and prayer and become followers of Christ. And these communities, they show a common pattern of perseverance. They meet in small groups. They meet secretly. They have a strong emphasis on prayer and scripture and mutual encouragement. And the way that the faith continues to grow and this growth happens is through this personal relationship that they have with one another. So as this Iranian underground church faces systematic and severe persecution from the government, here are ways that they are normally persecuted. Often there are raids on the house churches. There are arrests and detentions. There are interrogations and pressure and torture involved. Criminal charges and long prison sentences. Surveillance and monitoring of their movements and their families, which you can imagine leads to the social, economic, and family persecution for their faith. So if we could use one word to describe this, the characteristic, the faithful in Iran, gathering in house churches, display among this persecution, it would indeed be perseverance. And I have a definition for perseverance this morning. That is the characteristic of a person or group who has unswerved from their deliberate purpose and their loyalty to faith and devotion in Jesus Christ, even when facing the greatest trials and suffering. And we'll see in our text today that when we persevere together in confidence, when the people who the letter was written to did as well, we encourage one another in that faith. We have the ability to stand against life's troubles because we know in the end we do indeed have a better and lasting possession like it describes in our text. So our passage for today is set up in two sections. The first is Hebrews 10, 26 to 31. This is a section of warning. The second, 32 through 39, gives us a message of encouragement. But as we move into both pieces of this text, it's important that we gain an insight into the context to which the people who were reading and listening to this letter originally heard. So the people that this letter was written to, they were first or second generation Christ followers who've recently come out of the Jewish tradition, that faith tradition. They left the synagogue, they're out of the synagogue now, and they left the sacrificial faith system. So with their family and faith and cultural background, they would certainly know the Old Testament scriptures. They would know the God who has revealed himself to them and to the Hebrew people over and over and over again in their history. And as we keep that in mind, we go into our first verse, Hebrews 10, 26. It reads, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. And as we look at that text this morning, that verse, we should immediately consider what that word deliberately means. Because that word kind of unlocks this warning of faith in our text this morning. So this word characterizes ongoing, high-handed rebellion, rejection of God, rejection of faith. This, and they would know this, this people who are hearing this, because this thought parallels Numbers 15, 30 through 31 in the Old Testament. This is where God is giving instructions to his people on how to handle sacrifice for unintentional sin. But then he gives us this instruction in Numbers 15, 30 through 31. But anyone who sins defiantly, whether native-born or foreigner, blasphemies the Lord and must be cut off from the people of Israel. Because they have despised the Lord's word and broken his commands, they must surely be cut off, for their guilt remains on them. And moving out of the Old Testament, out of the synagogue, into the new faith, the new covenant, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, this now moves into if you knowingly and purposely trample on the Son of God. If you do that and reject the one atonement God has provided, the warning underscores the personal responsibility of doing so. Persistent, willful sin places the sinner under certain judgment. Talks about when you deliberately keep on sinning, when you, after you have received the knowledge of truth, this donates an experiential and relational and transformational knowledge of God. You're acknowledging you know who God is. In the New Testament, it's always anchored to divine initiative and always bears moral and spiritual consequences. When God has made himself known, when you know who God is, and you completely reject God, you completely throw God away, the scripture says this morning that you become God's enemy or adversary. If we use church language, so to speak, what the author of Hebrews is declaring is a powerful warning against apostasy. Apostasy is the willful and complete abandonment of the Christian faith and of Christ. And it's the abandonment of someone who once has professed it in word only. They haven't been transformed. They don't have the Holy Spirit. None of that has happened. They haven't been made a new creation. It was just words. It goes beyond temporary doubt or heresy where you just have a misunderstanding of Scripture. It's a total rejection of Christ. And the fearful expectation and judgment that it describes in our text today, and the raging fire falling in the hands of a living God, the Jewish Christians who are hearing that, they would understand what that means. They would have reference for that. Because they knew the story of their people in the Old Testament. They knew the command that God gave that, I am holy, so be holy. And they know that God was repeatedly rejected by the people who knew him, denounced by them. They would know the story of Exodus, when God leads his people out of Egypt through Moses and the plagues, remember the plague of darkness, where all of Egypt was put under darkness except for the light that was on Goshen, where the Hebrew people lived. They knew God. Remember the scene at Mount Sinai where God is on the mountain and there's fire and smoke billowing. On that mountain, in that scene, God revealed himself to them. They received the knowledge of who God is through plagues, through smoke, through fire, through the light and the darkness, through the parting of the Red Sea, and they still rejected God, many of them. Remember, that culminated in the one story where they make a golden calf to worship. That's rejection of God. And they felt God's judgment. They knew that fire. They knew that smoke. They knew of the prophets who proclaimed over and over again to the Hebrew people, return to God. Return to the God who has revealed himself to you. Reveal himself to you through the scriptures and the prophets and the world, the nature around them. Turn from apostasy or things will go bad for you, they declared over and over again. But still, they rejected God. The nation of Israel split in two. Judah and Israel were eventually conquered, and the people dispersed into foreign lands. They knew these stories. They knew their history. And as it says in our text, rejecting the law of Moses given by God, that was a bad idea. And it's even worse to throw away the fulfillment of the law, the ultimate and final sacrifice for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 29, it says, talks about trampling the Son of God, devaluing, profaning, rendering powerless. The image communicates contempt and humiliation and absolute decisive rejection of Jesus and who Jesus is. Insulting neglect. And to profane that which is holy, to treat the blood of Christ which formed this new covenant, fulfilled the law, the one forgiveness, the one place to find forgiveness of sins, as something that is simply common or ordinary, that's most offensive to God. A solemn warning arises out of this idea of blood of the covenant. When it's treated as ordinary, it invites God's severest judgment. And the verse presses on us to cherish Jesus' blood, the atonement, as uniquely sacred. What the Son has purchased for us must never be handled with casual indifference, whether in teaching, worshiping, life, the way we sing songs and the way we pray, never casual indifference. And then also insulting the Spirit of grace. To insult the Holy Spirit, a deliberate, high-handed affront that goes beyond ordinary opposition and rises to contempt. The direct outrage against God, against the Holy Spirit. It's not simply verbal abuse, but a willful, arrogant trampling of that which is sacred. So it's a warning to those who only are professing Jesus with words, but have not been transformed. Be careful of apostasy. It can happen easily and quickly. Look at the people in Exodus story where they went and started worshiping a golden calf. The pressure of the world can cause you to stray. So be careful. Don't throw away the forgiveness and salvation and eternal life only found through our Lord Jesus Christ. So following this explicit warning of what the results will be of those who do denounce God, we're offered encouragement of what it looks like when a community of believers comes together to support one another in faith in times of struggle, in times of oppression and persecution. The writer reminds the people that in earlier times they had received and taken hold of the revelation of the knowledge of God and the truth of the sacrifice of the Son. They have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. And through that, they endured great conflict, full of suffering for their faith. It led them out and away from the Jewish synagogue and the sacrificial tradition, most likely family and friends and people they've known all their lives. It says they were publicly exposed. They were publicly exposed to ridicule, mockery, public jest. As I think about this morning, I thought, you know, imagine being a part of a body, family and friends, and because of your faith, now those who loved you and care for you are mocking you. The people who used to bring you smiles are now frowning. The people who gave you words of encouragement are yelling and mocking. It says, you stood side by side with those who were mistreated and suffered along with those who were put in prison, and you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Why and how could one do that? Stand with people in prison, joyfully accept the confiscation of your property? That can only happen through God and the faith that God has put in you, and in hope in the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because joy comes out of staying on mission, and they knew their purpose. Because they knew no matter the struggle, no matter the persecution, no matter whatever injustice they faced that was brought down on them because of their faith, they had a better and lasting possession. Those better and lasting possessions through Christ are in dramatic contrast to the possessions that are passing and fading of the world. This better and lasting possessions and enduring and eternal is an enduring and eternal inheritance, now and forever, that's kept for us, kept for each person who professes Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. The Lord that we know through the book of Hebrews is sitting at the right hand of the Father, mediating for us as a high priest, the high priest. So as we continue to consider what perseverance looks like in faith, we think back to the house churches in Iran. And we know that they face many of the situations that we're describing today. So I found a personal example of someone who has gone through this perseverance. And this person's name is Reza. It's been changed for safety. And the story came out of the ministry, Help the Persecuted. So Reza coordinated secret house church gatherings using encrypted message apps. But eventually the Iranian security forces, they traced these app messages, and it led them to the group. So one night after the believers had met in the apartment, the security forces conducted a raid. They confiscated phones, they seized Bibles. Reza was arrested and taken into custody. Reza was held for several days for interrogation. During this time, authorities pressured him intensely. They told him his suffering would end if he would just renounce Christianity and return to Islam. They warned that his wife and children could face severe consequences if he refused to comply. He was pressured to give information about other believers and other leaders of that small underground church. Despite these threats, Reza refused to recant his faith. He was eventually released and faced severe long-term consequences. Whatever profession he was in, his license was taken away, so now he could not find work in that field. The family lost their main source of income, of course. They lived under continual surveillance. You can imagine it'd be constant fear and anxiety, and wondering what's going to happen, uncertainty. And the family entered a season of financial hardship and emotional strain because of all of this. And in these moments, like we're talking about in the story of our text for today, in these moments, Christian groups stood up and stood with them and helped them. This particular group, like called Help the Persecuted, it stood with this family, provided financial help, practical support, and guidance as this family is trying to put their life together, figuring out what the next steps are as they continue to live in faith in Christ. So our text and this story tell us this morning to persevere in your faith together as the body of Christ. Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you received what he has promised. And remember this definition of perseverance. Show it one more time. The characteristic of a person or group who is unswerved from their deliberate purpose and their loyalty to faith and devotion in Jesus Christ, even when facing great trials and suffering. So we are called to persevere together, to encourage one another in our confidence, in our faith. We heard that last week in Hebrews 10:25 when the writer encouraged people to keep meeting together, to persevere together, to encourage one another, to have confidence in the faith in which you profess. We face trials and troubles as well today, of course. While in our certain context right now, we don't face the same threat of persecution as someone like Reza is facing, the threat of prison or having our property seized for our faith. But we still face trials. We face troubles in our lives and in our lives together. And we do need to continue to meet together to persevere together in our faith. So some of the troubles we face regularly are in our culture. Culture certainly regularly mocks God and faith and Jesus, thinking it's all a myth, it's a fairy tale. You know, something like, you believe that there's this person in the sky who created the world and has sovereignty over it? I respond, yes, I do. Do you believe there's this guy named Jesus, that he was a real person and that Jesus actually rose from the dead? Yes, I do. And you believe the same Jesus will one day return and make things all new, as it says in the book of Revelation? Yes, I do. Maybe worse, if we look at our text today, is when Jesus is simply treated as ordinary or common in our culture. Just another good guy, another good teacher, another way to the divine of many. Within a culture that is hyper-individualistic and focuses on normally each person's truth, what is your truth, instead of we have the truth, and the truth is a person, the truth is Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And why we most likely will not face prison time for our faith or our property confiscated, we do realize, like these stories, that there are those around the world who do. And we should look for ways to stand with them in faith, pray for them, be as much supportive as we can be. And as one of the new work of our mission committee, if you don't know, our denomination ended mission workers, supportive mission workers in foreign lands these last few years. So we as a church and as a mission committee are going to be looking for ways to support those in our world who are proclaiming Jesus Christ and who are facing persecution for doing so, and supporting them in whatever ways make sense. And this morning, our concluding thought comes from Hebrews 10:39. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. As Christians who have been transformed by the Holy Spirit, it says in our text this morning that we received the light. We received Jesus. We have been divinely persuaded by God in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed acknowledge that he is the final and complete sacrifice for sin. He's our hope for salvation. He's our hope for eternal life. We are indeed divinely inspired to stand together, to persevere together through trials and struggles in life, whatever they may be and whenever they come. We do not belong to those who shrink back, the text says. And shrink back is a wonderful word to look up in the Greek. It means to those who retreat in fear or draw back from the pressure of life. Those who, out of fear or pressure of life, turn from God and his promises, turn from Christ and his salvation and eternal life, turn and fall into that state of apostasy. That's not who we are. We stand together in faith and in confidence and in perseverance with our Lord Jesus Christ. You indeed are the faithful, the ones who stand. You stand in grace, you stand in mercy, and you stand in love, and you stand in the power of Christ, no matter what circumstances you find yourselves in. Because interestingly, if you look at Scripture, when people face persecution, it never tells them to run. It tells them to stand together. We who have eternal life and preservation of our soul through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.